We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Beamish and Finley, we're back taking your calls on the Washington football team quarterback competition. I want to get to a call right away, and then I want to play this Lewis Riddick audio about the Washington football team. Let's go to my guy, Dominic. Dominic, do you think there's a real quarterback competition between Ryan Fitzpatrick and Taylor Heinicke?
This is what I thought all offseason. Taylor Heinicke passed the eye test in the most important game in Washington football the past 3 or 4 years. Why is it a surprise for people that he's going to ultimately pass the eye test in camp? He's going to give Fitzpatrick a run. I don't know if he's going to take it, but Ron Rivera is not scared to not play a guy who's getting paid $10 million. He benched and cut a first-round draft pick. So Fitzpatrick has his place in the league. He's done this before. I don't think Ron is scared to make him do it again. So if Taylor's that good, I think he'll play him. That's just my opinion.
Appreciate it, man. I don't know that you're wrong. I think
he cut a first round.
They
draft
like
pick
this
because
team.
He didn't draft him, and the first round draft pick just kept doing stupid stuff.
Right.
The passing the eye test in a game where you did get hurt, which you normally do, and every time you start, it's a different ball game for me. And I don't see that game like a lot of people see it, because for some reason, I understand how people prepare for quarterbacks. And I know when I don't have no film on you, it's tough as hell to come up with a game plan to go against you. And I watched that same defense shut down top-notch quarterbacks. And I'm not ready to admit that Taylor, and probably won't ever be ready to admit that Taylor Heinicke is a top-notch quarterback. So I think that we are looking at fool's gold based off of that game and then moving in the future. Because if he was that guy, he would be starting somewhere. He wouldn't have been whatever in college when he was called to come here.
Landfill, can we hear Rivera's quote on Heinicke and Fitzpatrick? This is via the Ben Standings podcast.
First and foremost, the most obvious person we're going to look at is going to be our quarterback position. And there's two people that we're going to be watching closely, and both Ryan and Taylor are two guys that are very valuable, very important to us going forward. So we'll be watching both those guys and watching their progress very, very closely. I think it's going to be a very competitive battle. I think both guys, you know, want to be the guy, and that's going to be important to us as we go forward.
So I go back to this point. Until I see Taylor Heinicke getting work with the first team offense, they're certainly battling, and Heinicke's playing as well as he can, but he's not a real contender to start week one until he gets work with the first team offense.
Consistent work, too.
Yeah.
Not one day. Like, we're going to go until we get to the point where we're game planning for the season. If we're not getting equal time, then it's not a real battle.
Got this text from my buddy Blake. It says, I'm listening to the show. Isn't Taylor Heinicke the perfect backup? Change of pace QB, small sample sizes. Isn't that what you want? Somebody that can come in and win you games? Like Taylor almost did against the Bucs? I think there's a really valid point there that is kind of what you want in your backup QB. Got a good tweet from Simply Sound. It says, it sounds like Taylor is the focal point of a possible future quarterback moving forward, a candidate for after this season as well. And he asked what we think. I agree. Listen, there's zero question that this staff loves Taylor Heinicke. He was with them in Carolina. They brought him here when they were desperate. I think they, like me, have a question if he can stay healthy.
Yep.
I've made this contention, B-Mitch. I've said this on my podcast a bunch. I don't think Taylor Heinicke is a career backup. I think it's a narrow window, but I think there's an actual path or avenue to a perhaps like a Tony Romo type career, guy that comes out of nowhere and emerges as a starter for a long time and is a really good quarterback. Like if I have 100 chips, I'm not putting a lot of them on that, but mm-hmm. I see a path to that. And maybe it's 15 chips, right? 20 chips.
It's just that little injury thing.
But the injury thing is what prevents me from buying in.
That right there makes me wonder, okay? Because, see, this is what happens. If that's been your history so far, you only have a few more times to get hurt, and then they give up on it. So, you know, this year comes up. You might want to try to get through this year without getting nicked. And if you can afford, if you can possibly get that done, which is tough as hell in pro sports, and I
right. understand,
especially pro football, if that happens, now they start saying, well, it's a possibility. And then they start seeing, well, all right, if he gets nicked a little bit, but he's there like 80-90% of the time, we get a lot out of him. But if you get nicked up, then they go say, oh, Lord, he's hurt again. And if it comes again, then all of a sudden they drop down the possibilities even more. And I think that is – I don't know why
because they know fans, they need somebody that can win games.
There you go. And I don't know why fans don't truly ever understand it because we talk about people being injury prone. We talk about people get released because of injuries. But when we like somebody, we don't discuss that part if that's a part of their history.
Yeah. So here's what I'll say. They have him listed at 6'1", 210. I take the under on those.
On both of them.
Like my NBA playoff bets, take the under. But I do think they're intrigued. They clearly like him. There's no disagreement about that. And maybe he really is considered as part of the quarterback of the future. But he's got to stay healthy. Let's go to Tim in Alexandria. Tim, what's up, man? You're on with B-Mitch and Finley.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Sounds like you guys are somewhat on the same page as me. I can't figure out why within 5 minutes of that playoff game, people are saying there's no way Taylor Heinicke could ever be a starter. You know, it's they say if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck. Well, if he runs like a Pro Bowler and he throws like a Pro Bowler, why isn't he a Pro Bowler? You know,
pretty small sample size, but yep. I hear you. I think it's
If you listen to any show I've been on since I first got on radio, I always say somebody can play great in one game. They can play great for a season. They can play great for half a season. That doesn't make you that guy. You got to be able to put those together. And so far, Mr. Heinicke has not put them together. And that's why he's where he's at. That's why he's not that Pro Bowler. That's why he has not been the starter. It's not just because he don't get a chance. It's because a lot of times when he gets opportunities, the injury follows it. And until you can constantly start putting it together, you know what I'm saying? When you're in a tournament, you don't just get put into the championship game. You have to win a game, then win a game, then win a game. You got to be consistent in this thing. And I think that right there is where where his body has failed him. He's going to have to find a way to keep that thing going.
Nothing like quarterback discussion in the DMV. Because when they signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, people were fired up.
Oh, my. I'm telling you, dude.
Now, like, I want somebody to call in, 800-636-1067.
If I put Lanfield and Cody, I guarantee we can get an argument at the quarterback position.
Oh, I'm sure. I would take Cody, by the way.
Man, Lanfield got an arm.
Is nobody still excited about Ryan Fitzpatrick because of 3-day minicamp in June with no pads on? It's crazy to me. The expectations for Fitz were probably too high. Now there's this groundswell for Heinicke.
Like my mom always said, man, people's opinions are just like underwear. You change them all the time.
Certainly.
And when the media started putting out stuff, we that's why I say we have to be careful in the media because we have great influence.
You know what's interesting you say that. So I listened to a podcast last week, I think, It's these guys from Establish the Run, which is a really cool, like, in-depth fantasy kind of gambling statistical analysis website about football. Adam Levitan and Evan Silva, good guys. And they had Jordan Renan on.
Mm-hmm.
He's a beat reporter, covers the Giants for ESPN. And it wasn't like a typical conversation like, oh, what do you think of Saquon, whatever. It was more a what's it like being a beat reporter. And it's interesting for me having done that for, you know, a decade or whatever, and now kind of sitting in this chair and trying to do both things. And Renan talked about, especially this past year where fans weren't there to see anything, mm-hmm. like the power of beat reporters and the power of something as minor as tweets. Like when we tweet out, yo, Heineke looks good, fits through a pick, like that does have an impact on how people are viewing all of this.
Yeah, but when you send out that tweet could be about two plays.
Right.
And then the rest of the practice could be totally different. But people are stuck. They just stay stuck on that one tweet.
Well, and then you think about like the little bits of information you put out during 11-on-11 drills in training camp, which really need to be taken with a probably more than a grain of salt and get taken as gospel.
That tweet takes how much time? Maybe 10 seconds?
Yeah.
John Thompson, again, people want to judge you based off of sound clips of your life. Okay? And when you send out a tweet, they judge a whole competition off of the push of a button. And I think that is the thing where I am very proud to say I've not allowed myself to become controlled by the atmosphere of Twitter.
You're good at
and
that.
Other things, because I still know one thing. We may be able to get information quick. We may be able to put information out there, but life doesn't happen like that. If you don't put in consistent work, and your ass consistently hurting somebody's not, you're not winning. No matter what the tweet said or whoever put, it could be the top guy in professional sports that put, Peter King, Schefter, they could put it out. But if that guy that they're talking about is not healthy consistently, and he doesn't put in the great work consistently, that little 10-second tweet don't mean a damn thing when it comes to the full multitude of what life really is. And that's why I look at Twitter when I want information from it. I don't let my life live off of it, because I have seen a lot of people completely get caught up in Twitter, the Twitter sphere,
Twitter sphere.
Then they don't know what the hell is truly going on, because life is still about hard work and consistency. If you don't have it, you're going to have problems.
Let's go to Telly in D.C. on the Gambit D.C. listener lines. Telly, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on? Hell of the Redskins. Be missed, JP. What's happening, man?
What up, Telly? How you doing,
what's
man?
What's up, bud?
Man, I'm cooling, man. Going to your question, for one, I wasn't never excited with them bringing my man over here. But that's who they wanted.
Who, Fitz?
So big. Yeah, Fitzpatrick. I wasn't excited about him coming here. But, I mean, that's who they wanted. Okay, we're going to rock with it. We're going to see how he roll. I was more interested to see, you know, the bunk fits here, what all three were going to do in the quarterback competition. But since they brung him here and they named him the starter already, we know it's not going to be a true competition. He already named him the starter. But on Heineke being staying healthy, truthfully, it don't matter to me. I'm interested to see how Scott Turner, because if Scott Turner comes out and he hasn't learned anything from his rookie year as being an OC, if he comes back out this year and put whoever's the quarterback back there at risk and want to throw the ball 100 times a game and don't want to establish the run, it doesn't matter who you got back there. It'll be a quarterback carousel just like the previous regime.
Thank you for
That's
the call,
I
Telly.
Say, man.
All right,
appreciate
Telly.
You.
Appreciate you, brother.
Landfill. When Ryan Fitzpatrick signed with this team, we were all working. Mm-hmm. We were all taking calls that day. Folks were fired up. They had Fitz fever. I think you might have even had it. You were excited.
But as a quarterback in the D.C. metropolitan area, you go back to Billy Kilmer and Sonny, way back then. Then you got Joe and Sonny. And then any other two quarterbacks you can name.
Doug and Jay Schrader.
We have always been split on that.
Gus and Heath.
And every time one comes.
Kirk and Robert.
What's the first thing we do? We get excited until they sign another one. And then we start thinking about the other one. It has never got to a point where it's just one guy that you care about.
Landfill, are you surprised, though, that like nobody rocks with Fitz now? He hadn't even thrown a pass. Hadn't even worn a jersey.
The Fitz fever has definitely faded.
It's faded because of people like Finley, Standick, Haley putting out there. Ryan Fitzpatrick played great. And the fans go, whoa! And I tell you, they're wearing T-shirt and panties. Doesn't mean a damn thing.
I agree with B. Mitch that this is, in large part, your fault.
Listen. I wrote a story this week that said, calm down with the Heinicke stuff. Fitz is the firm starter. That is on pixels internet.
But you waited too long. You've already let that locomotive get started downhill. Can't stop it. Your brake pads are thin right now.
I need Callahan brake pads. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a starter, man. But does Rod? I don't know that Rod's helping.
Listen, he said both people were looking at these two guys. What you need is always a starter and a legitimate backup to be successful in the NFL.
I just don't know they have a legitimate starter. They certainly have.
Well, I think many people would say that. Many people that have truly watched football will say there's no legitimate starter because the one guy who you say is the starter right now, he's been benched a lot.
I think he was the best option of what they could do.
Yeah.
They wanted Stafford, didn't get him.
I don't think they wanted Stafford. I don't think they wanted, they weren't in love with anybody. They were in like with some people.
They were willing to go on some dates, maybe spend a little money, maybe book an Airbnb in the mountains for the weekend. There were no rings.
They wanted to go out with the person, but they wanted her to buy them drinks.
There were no rings.
Yeah, that's what it is.
No rings whatsoever.
It wouldn't even put a ring on it. Not even an aluminum foil ring.
Aluminum foil. You're really breaking out the big costs there.
Back in the day, man, you could put the aluminum foil and tell your girl that you're giving her that little promise ring.
Phone lines are still going. Gambit DC listener lines are open. 11:45, Fred Katz joins the program. We're talking Wizards. Next, I want to hear from Lewis Riddick, and I want to hear if anybody out there still has Fitz fever because you had it 2 months ago, please call and let me know. 800-636-1067. Coming right back. The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell. And are you just like everybody else out there, tired of your credit card bills with high interest rate? Ready to pay off your credit card balances and start moving and saving some money? Well, this is what you need to do. You need to get a credit card consolidation loan from LightStream. Rates start at just 5.9% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Lower than the average credit card interest rate of over 19% APR. The rate is fixed, so it would never go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 with no fees. No application fees, no origination fees, no transaction fees, and no prepayment penalties. Plus, you can get your money in your bank account as soon as the day you apply. LightStream believes that people with good credit deserve a better loan experience, and that's exactly what they deliver. Just for my listeners, apply to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is to go to LightStream.com/Mitchell. That's LightStream.com/Mitchell. It's subject to a credit approval. Rates range from 5.95% to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. Offers are subject to change without notice. So visit LightStream.com/Mitchell for more information.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B-Mitch and Finley, 15 minutes. We're going to hear from Fred Katz, Wizards reporter for The Athletic. Figure out who the hell is going to be the next head coach of the Washington Wizards. I've planted my flag for Sam Cassell. We'll see what Fred thinks about Sam's chances. Also, we're giving away spots to B-Mitch's golf tournament. That's this coming Monday, right? The 21st?
Yep.
We got four spots, two pairs of spots going out. We're giving them away, 12:45, 1:45. Better call in and get them. It's going to be a good time out there at Westfield's Golf Club Monday, June 21st. Right now, though, we're talking quarterbacks in Washington. What's new? This has been going on my entire life. I'm telling you, Ryan Fitzpatrick's the starter. When they signed him, there was great excitement about him.
It was.
Now there's not. Everybody's got Heinicke fever. What happened to Fitz fever? They all got vaccinated. I don't know. Phone lines are litty. Let's go to James in Manassas. James, you're on with B-Mitch and Finley. What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man.
What's up, James?
Great to talk to you, B-Mitch. I'm very, very excited about the upcoming season, but I swear I hope Heinicke wins the job. I know you said that Fitz is getting most of the snaps, but we kind of know what Fitz is, man. He's going to be hot and cold. That's been his entire career. I don't know why everybody had this fever. He gets benched everywhere he goes. So at least if Heinicke starts, we have a veteran backup that can come in and provide some veteran leadership. And if Heinicke prospers, we still win. So I just think Heinicke is a better, younger version of what Fitz used to be.
Oh.
That's my opinion.
All right. Thank you, James.
Different way of looking at it.
This is a good tweet here. D. Wolf says, they may not be in pads in Richmond, but if Heinicke outplays Fitzpatrick in front of the fans, then you got a competition. Because I think those practices in Richmond are going to be packed with fans. First time fans get to watch this team in over a year. There's legit excitement coming off an NFC East title. And it's only 4 days, so they got to get there right away. And it's free.
Mm-hmm.
People love free. I know that.
It's free. But I'm going to tell you one thing. Okay, I watch at training camp. RG3. They tagged him off. Three or four people tagged him off.
And he'd run down the field.
He'd run down the field, and the fans lost their damn mind.
He loved that, dude.
And guess what? That feels like you're persuading somebody to do something. You just persuade. You cheered on a guy who was sacked five times on one play.
We were talking to Cates earlier about Gladiator.
Yeah,
come on, man. The crowd. You can take over Rome.
So, therefore.
We're talking about Robert later today. I can't wait for you on that.
I'm hoping to God that Ron Rivera makes his decision and don't let nobody's cheering make the decision.
How about Billy in Front Royal? Billy, what's up, man? You're on the Gambit DC Listener Lines talking with B. Mitch and Finley.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
For sure, man. Thanks for listening.
So I personally think that Fitzpatrick is going to win after training camp and when all that good stuff comes around. I would like to see Taylor Heinicke sit behind Fitz for a year or two and learn. I think that would be ideal. I don't think that anyone's really flipped on either player. I think it's more of a – nobody's really discussed Taylor since his contract until Ron mentioned his name today. Or I don't know if it was today or yesterday. But
I feel like we talk a lot about Taylor.
We talk about him.
I mean, we mentioned him, but the big thing has been Fitz. I mean, and since he played the Bucks, nobody really discussed Taylor that often. I don't think they have.
I don't know.
A lot of Redskins.
I know we've been.
All right, I want to disagree with this guy.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Billy. Appreciate you, buddy.
If you're 28 years old and you need to sit behind somebody that's 39 for a year or two, it might be time for you to get out of the league. You're 28.
I also think we talked about Heinicke.
We talked about him way more than we should.
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Let's go to Mark in Largo. Mark has lost that love and feeling. He's no longer excited. Mark, what's up?
Hey, what's up? What's up, JP and B-Mesh? How you doing?
We're good,
man,
buddy.
What's happening?
We've seen Ryan Fitzpatrick when he played with Tampa and you know, and stuff like that and all these other teams. When he goes up against good defense, physical defenses, he struggles. When I look at Ryan Fitzpatrick, I see Rex Grossman 10 years later. That's exactly who he is. I know nobody wants to believe that, but it's the truth. He'll throw four touchdown passes, and he'll throw four interceptions in the same game. That's what he'll do. Now, this smells like 2011. And what I mean by smells like 2011 is this. Washington's going to the 800-pound gorilla in the room is Justin Fields. And if Justin Fields plays like Justin Herbert's in 2021, you guys, JP, are going to be killing Ron Rivera for not trading up to get him. I'm telling you that now. You know what I'm saying is true. They need a quarterback. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. You can't just move around it and think, we could just do without. No, you need a quarterback. They don't have one.
Huh. Thanks for the call, Mark. I think you can very easily make the argument they don't have a quarterback. I don't think I'll kill them for not trading up. Now, if they got to 19 and Fields was there and they chose not to take him and then Fields is a monster, you can kill him for that.
Yeah, but you know, if Fields had one of those spectacular, start off with a spectacular career, we're going to question the fact that they didn't try to get him.
Yeah, but trading up isn't a given.
It's not a given, but still, when we hear them saying, we thought about it, but we didn't see anybody that we really liked.
Yeah.
If he starts off having if he has a year this year, like the dude in our L.A. Chargers
Herbert,
had,
yeah.
We are damn sure going to be saying, what were they looking at?
What if the same thing happens with my body double Mac Jones? Because that was only four picks different.
Okay.
Similar?
In this town, we're going to, if any one of those guys start off rolling, we're going to question why they didn't do something.
Now, I don't think.
Unless Fitzpatrick or Heinicke, they're having a fantastic year.
I just don't think. I think questioning is one thing. I don't think you can be outraged over not trading up eight spots.
You know what? I don't think we can be outraged by it, most things, but.
But we still get there.
In this town, it's always a serious gripe when we don't make a move and somebody else does and they have success with it.
Fair point. Let's go to Wendell. Wendell, what's up, man? You're on the Gambit DC Listener Lines.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. To the point y'all were just on, I wouldn't kill him for it. I thought the same thing, that it wasn't a huge price for them moving up for Fields to get him. And I was thinking, like, maybe Washington could have made a move. But you could do that in almost any draft, you know. So that I really wouldn't kill him for it. But I do get both sides of that one. But to the original point, I think it's going to come more so down to preseason when the fans are really seeing Heinicke. And it kind of sucks. I was a guy for the four preseason games. I know that's not a, like, popular thing. But you don't get guys like Tony Romo's you don't get Romo without all four preseason games. And I think Heinicke's that kind of guy, that the more you see him, the more you see how fluent he is in the offense, and having been in it for so long.
It's also, however, Wendell, more opportunities to get hurt because he's going to be out there with a backup offensive line and defensive players flying around trying to make rosters. So that can cut both ways.
But he's a prove-it guy. I think, yeah. Every time he's going to step on the field, regardless, though, he's going to be up against getting hurt. I think he's a guy that the more you see him because of his measurables and things like that. Same thing with Wilson coming out.
So I agree with you, and thank you for the call, Wendell. It's a good call. Heinicke's a guy that's at his best on the field because what he does all the time doesn't always show up in practice.
Yeah.
And Kyle Allen, I think, is actually similar because they're going to go all out all the time, but that also has a downside when you're at the quarterback position.
It actually does.
Good tweet from Tailgate Ted says, my Fitz fever symptoms were more so because of the details of his deal and the fact that we didn't mortgage the future to sign him. We all know what he is capable of, both good and bad. I'm cautiously optimistic for both QBs, and Allen is an afterthought.
Can I ask this question?
You can ask any question you'd like.
If
it's your show.
If things don't work out with the QB position, are people going to get rid of that notion of mortgage in the future and say, go get a damn quarterback, however you have to do it? Because right now it seems like what we do.
Are Chiefs fans mad they traded up for Mahomes?
Not at all. What we do, we always go to Facebook Marketplace looking for the deal instead of going and get the damn, go get somebody that we, okay, we're going to this place and this is quality. Let's go get it. Eventually, we're going to have to stop being a bargain shopper and go get a damn quarterback. And I think if it doesn't work this year, it's time to go get one. And as I said to you earlier this year, I was like, we always knock the player who's not successful or doesn't make it. When are we going to start putting that onus on the coaches that have to coach them up? Right now, I think everybody, 100% of the people will say, we have a better coaching staff that can probably get the best out of their players. So if this coaching staff was to decide to make that decision to go get a quarterback and draft one or go get a top-notch one, I would believe that they're going to get more success out of that quarterback than that previous damn staff would. Because I thought that the previous staff was the most immature bunch of people I've seen.
Certainly.
So we are going to eventually have to stop sitting up here, going to Bob's discount place, and then try to tell him, oh, no, I got this from the I bought this at the Rolls Royce place. No. When you keep shopping on the cheap end, you get cheap end.
Let's squeeze in one more call before we got some Wizards talk coming up. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon, what's up, man? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, man?
I just want to say, it's like, when I think of Ryan Fitzpatrick in this, I kind of feel like it's very Mark Brunell-ish. Like, I feel like he's going to give us two great games, maybe three, something to be excited about, kind of like Dallas when Mark Brunell threw them two touchdown passes to beat Dallas.
Yeah.
You know,
Brunell
game,
had a much higher track record earlier in his career than Fitz does. I'll say. I mean, I remember Mark Brunell, who'd they thump to go to the AFC title game?
That was,
they dropped a 50 spot on somebody.
No, he was with Jacksonville.
It might have been Denver. I swear they dropped a 50 spot in the playoffs. That's a good call, though. All right, one more. Kevin in Arlington. What's up, Kev? You're on with B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, boys. That 50 spot was on Miami. But
okay, thank you.
Anyway. Here's the thing, guys, and I've been watching this team since I had a I Love Sonny bumper sticker on a family station wagon. And, Brian, you said it earlier. There is this sort of, split between the fans as to who it is they want to back, and that's going back, 50 years. That said, Heinicke did something that Kurt didn't do. Okay, if you go back to Cousins and how poorly he played in the playoff game against the Packers, if you go back to how poorly he played in virtual playoff game last game of the season against the Giants, you go back to how Fitzy kicked our butt as a Jet quarterback in 15, but in the last game of the year when he had a chance to go to the playoffs, he gaffed.
Listen, man, you're right. I understand why Washington football team fans are skeptical about everything when it comes to the quarterback position. I understand that, Kevin. Thank you for the call. We're hard out here, so we got to run. When we come back, Fred Katz, Washington Wizards, who's going to be the next coach? B. Mitch and Finley back, 106.7 The Fan. News emerged yesterday, Woj bomb, that the Washington Wizards and Scott Brooks have parted ways to figure out what's going on with this scenario. Let's go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Fred Katz covers the Wizards for The Athletic. Fred, let me ask you this. What does parted ways mean?
Yeah. Somebody quit or got fired, one of the two.
Well, you know, it's really easy to say parted ways when you have a contract expiring. Everybody can leave gracefully. Nobody has to quit. Nobody has to get fired. The contract is up, and it's real easy to just be able to say, hey, we're both walking away. It's mutual. And, you know, I'm not surprised. I figured if Scott Brooks, were to not come back, I figured that would be how it's phrased. Because I know independent of any business decisions, he has a lot of personal friends in that organization, Tommy Shepard being one of them. So I was not surprised by the language or the framing at all.
Yeah, Fred, I normally, when I get in situations like this, I like to look through the windshield instead of the rearview mirror because I want to see what's the future. So who do you think may be the next guy coming in? Or have you heard any names popping up?
Oh, man, that one I'm not sure yet. I think it might be a little too early to say who the next guy could be in particular. I know there have been reports of Wes Unseld Jr., and I know Mike Singer of the Denver Post reported he could be a candidate there. Obviously, he would make a ton of sense for a bunch of reasons. There are the obvious ones, and you just have to look at his name to know the obvious ones. But on top of that, you know, I think we talk about defense so much in relation to the Wizards, and you know, his reputation in Denver is really excellent as a defensive-minded coach. And the people in Denver there, they really love him. There are a lot of former Wizards people in Denver. You know, Tim Connolly, obviously, somebody who has Wizards ties, and he runs the Nuggets now. And they love him there. So, you know, he's somebody who could easily get great referrals from somebody the Wizards trust. And that's the first name that comes to mind. But, I'm throwing this stuff out there. You know, you can make a link to Sam Cassell, who seems to be rising in the assistant ranks and wasn't assistant coach, here, what was it, 5, 6, 7 years ago. And there are a number of other ones, from Darvin Ham to, Mike D'Antoni to Terry Stotts, who's now out of a job. I mean, there are a lot of decent assistant coaches and retreads who have had a lot of success, who I think they could justify going with.
I think we talk about playing defense. D'Antoni is out.
I don't care. You know what? So I was listening to the Junkies this morning, and EB was talking about being a Wizards fan, you feel kind of hopeless. And that's how I feel. I don't even care if they play defense. I just want them to have some identity. And I feel like with Brooks, there never was. I want Sam Cassell just because he was a gutsy player, and I think you've got a gutsy point guard in Russ Westbrook. But even big picture here, Fred, how attractive is this Wizards job?
You know, it's funny. I was talking about that with our buddy Ben Standig last night, where we were kind of reeling through. There are 6 openings in the league right now. We're trying to find the place of where the Wizards rank amongst the best job. And I personally think the best job is the Boston job. And if it's not the Boston job, I think it's the New Orleans job, because you get to coach Zion Williamson. And obviously that is, going to be a very good thing for a coach if you're able to really help develop Zion into a superstar and potentially win a lot of games. So I think those are the best 2 jobs out of the 6 that are open right now. I'd say Portland is a better job because they've had a lot more recent success. I mean, you know, for all the criticism that Portland takes for not often getting out of the first round, well, they're consistently getting to the first round, and they're usually not doing it with an 8th seed, and they're doing it in the Western Conference. I mean, they're winning, 55 to 62% of their games every year. That's, a good team with talent. And
Dame's
a
legit top 10 player, right?
Yeah, Lillard is fantastic. I had him first team All-NBA this year on my ballot. He's great, so I put them ahead of it. And then I put the Wizards probably somewhere in that, Orlando, Pacers realm in the bottom 3. You could argue that it's ahead of both those other teams. Orlando's breaking it down, and that gives a coach a chance to create his own foundation. But coaches also want to win. This isn't a front office job. Coaches want to win. Orlando is not going to win. And so I think it's probably around those lines with the Pacers, an organization with similar objectives. They want to get into the playoffs. They've had kind of similar sort of success and approach. I think it just comes down to personal preferences at that point between those 2 jobs.
I look at this thing where I think they need to have a revamped mindset with this organization. And I believe Tommy Shepherd is still an extension of the old mindset. I think if they're going to do something, they need to go completely general manager and new coach and then move forward.
You think that's possible?
I would say no. I mean, Tommy Shepherd even said at his end of season, exit interview that, he's under contract for next year. And if you're going to change GMs, then you're not going to have this GM decide on a coaching decision and start a coaching search and then flip GMs. The Wizards part ways with Scott Brooks yesterday. They start the coaching search today. You're not going to have a GM go through that process and then change GMs in the middle of it. So, if there's anything that is most important for a GM coming in, it's It's being able to pick his own guys, right? Whether that's players, whether that's coaches, whomever else. And if you have a coach vacancy, that makes the situation very seamlessly. I also think Shepherd has done a pretty solid job so far. I mean, he's made a lot of solid.
Who gave Bertans 80 mil?
What did you say?
Did he give Bertans 80 mil, or was that Ernie?
He also made the Bertans trade. I didn't say he did an infallible job.
Sure,
I think he's done a solid job. The Bertans contract doesn't look good. But, you know, the Gafford trade.
Gafford, that's a great trade. You're right there. I don't have a ton of beef with Tommy. I guess my question is more like an existential organizational question. To me, the NBA is about stars, like elite players, if you're trying to get to championships, right? And I love Brad. I'm watching Russ Westbrook's a ton of fun. But this Wiz team is not competing for championships. Are they comfortable competing for a 6, 7, 8 seed in perpetuity, or will they ever push for more?
That's a good question, and it's the question about the Wizards. And in order to answer that, you kind of have to unblur the lines between front office and ownership, right? Because you guys talk about a commonality between Tommy and Ernie and their approach. And one thing you can do is you can say, well, Tommy worked for Ernie and he's an extension of Ernie. The other thing you can do is find another common denominator, which is that ownership is the same. Mm-hmm. And Ted Leonsis has been somebody who's always valued, want to get into the playoffs, want to make sure that you're in that competition when postseason play starts. And I think that has a lot to do with it as well, where it's kind of, it's an ownership preference. I mean, you see a lot of these teams who consistently have those sort of preferences as front offices roll over, you know, similar thing in Indiana, where Indiana wants to get in there, similar thing in Charlotte, where Charlotte wants to get in. You know, whether Charlotte has Mitch Kupchak or Rich Cho, they're competing with similar sorts of organizational preferences and organizational priorities.
It's purgatory of...
It applies to the Wizards, too.
It's like mediocrity purgatory at best.
It can be.
Right?
It can be. I think they have a chance to be better next year than they were this year, assuming Russell Westbrook is healthy and assuming they're able to fix some of their wing defense stuff. And, you know, they really didn't have any wings this year at all. If they're able to maybe make a couple of shrewd moves and bring in some extra wings, some extra three-point shooting as well. I mean, I think they have a chance to be better this year than they were last year. And it's not like the East is you know, some ridiculously difficult conference to rip through. You know, I think they could make their way up to 5. It's possible. It's totally possible. But again, I mean, that's not. I mean, I guess Atlanta is one game away from a conference finals, and they were 5th. But this is such a strange year, and with the way everything is going, right?
Yeah.
You know, for the most part, you get a 5th seed. You maybe win a playoff series, and that's about it. That's what the likelihood tells you. So, you know.
You brought up the Hawks there. Have you ever seen a choke job like the Sixers last night?
Mercy.
Oh, my God. That was wild.
Wild.
You know, I've seen some teams blow bigger leads. In that context, in that fashion, I remember 2012, Memphis was up like 28. On the Clippers, it was the first year the Clippers had Chris Paul. Memphis was up like 28. I think it was 28, maybe 27, with 9 minutes left in the fourth quarter. And they let go of that lead. They scored two points the entire rest of the game. And just to send you guys an incredible throwback and show you how much the game has changed, Reggie Evans, who would never be able to play in this era, ended up scoring the game-winning bucket. I think it was his only basket of the game. And that was an absolutely wild one with Memphis just clanking. I mean, the other thing that comes to mind is the Rockets missing 27 consecutive threes against Golden State in game 7 when they really had the chance to upset them in that series. But that, man, that was so rough with the Simmons hacking. 2 Sixers scored baskets in the second half.
Yeah, the whole second half. That's obviously pathetic.
Fred, we really appreciate your time, man. Now that the world's opening back up, I hope to get to meet you in person one of these days. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, that would be great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely.
Take care, man.
Give him a follow on Twitter at Fred Katz, KATZ. Next, phone lines are open about the Wizards.
Yeah.
I want Sam Cassell. You could call in and tell us who you want as the next head coach. And is the next head coach actually going to be able to take this team from the play-in tournament maybe to that five seed where we're seeing the Hawks?
In a sense, I think Fred proved what I was trying to get at, because he said that Ernie, I mean, what you call him, is the extension, Tom is the extension of Ernie, because Ted has been controlling. I think he need to get a general manager that he could sit back and let do his job.
Let's find out if you think the same thing. 800-636-1067. Wizards talk next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.